True repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
Another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated from attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists crossed into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics. Tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky. He wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church. Second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I mean, I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. We're so excited and honored that you're here. Today we're going to be focusing and talking about, you know, Israel and also the Jews that are around the world, but the ones that are here with us in America, and how we need to stand up as Christians for everyone, but stand up for the Jews. As a matter of fact, in Brooklyn, just this last Saturday, two teenagers with their grandfather were walking down the street in Brooklyn, and there's a lot of Jewish citizens in Brooklyn, and somebody began to shoot at them. I don't know who it was, began to shoot at them, and they thought they were under fire, but they found out, as a matter of fact, take a look at this.
A Brooklyn neighborhood is on high alert tonight after a series of possible bias attacks. Police say somebody has been targeting members of the Jewish community with paintballs. CBS 2's Alana Gold spoke exclusively to one of the victims.
You can't miss the pink and blue paint splattered across the sidewalk at Morton Street and Juliana Place in Williamsburg after someone shot off a paintball gun.
And my grandchild was very afraid because he thought it's a bullet.
The sound startling Abraham Francis and his two teenage grandsons walking home from the synagogue down the block around 10 o'clock Friday night.
We felt on our shoulder some shots.
The paintballs fired right at them, hitting both of the boys, who then ran off with no injuries.
Did you have paint all over your clothes?
I don't. My grandchildren, yes.
Where was the paint? Where were they hit?
They had it on the pants, on the shoes, on the jacket.
Police now investigating this as a hate crime and looking for the shooter. Abraham Franco says it happened so fast he couldn't see who did this or what direction the paintballs came from.
We're afraid. We have no weapons. We don't fight back.
There was a similar scare about a half mile away last Sunday night. Police say a 37-year-old man was targeted when he was walking by this intersection of Kent and Hughes.
If somebody can shoot a paintball, who knows? God knows what's going to be tomorrow.
That victim, a Hasidic Jew, struck in the face with a paintball but wasn't hurt either. According to investigators, someone in a car fired that shot while driving by.
Everybody wants to know that they can walk home safely. They don't have to bend backwards to see what's going to happen.
Police say the incidents could be linked. People in this Jewish community just need this to stop and hope police find whoever's doing this. In Williamsburg, Ilana Gold, CBS 2 News.
The Hate Crimes Task Force is also looking into a third incident from last week. Community leaders say it happened as a man walked home from nighttime services. He did not report any injuries.
So you're looking at a horrific incident to an American citizen. Of course, they're shooting at this dressed Jewish man and his family that you can, it's not mistaken, and they're firing what ended up being paintballs. But can you imagine if that happened to, which would be a tragic thing, but happened to an African American in America? We would be all over that and going, you cannot do that to our citizens, no matter what their race is, no matter what their beliefs are. And it's like almost, it's like people are winking at that and thinking that's called anti-Semitism, which means racism towards Jews. In other words, because you're Jewish, I'm hating you, not liking you, not wanting you here, just because of their race. You know, being Jewish is not an idea. Jewish is a race. It's actually a human race. And now we have reports by CBN News is reporting that the Virginia Bar Association were scheduled to go have their event inside of Israel. But guess what? They're canceling it, not wanting to be associated with it. It comes to a point. Notice this. If you stand up for God and you stand up for Israel, which is also standing up for God, standing up for the Jewish people, understand you're going to be hated. Jesus said, everyone's going to hate you. We got to get over this. I want everybody to love me and everybody to like me. He said, everyone's going to hate you for my sake. And the specific sake is we have to stand up for human race and stand up for Israel. Now, look what the Virginia Bar Association is doing, reported by CBN. Take a look at this.
Thanks, George. There have been some calls to boycott Israel. And a surprise move by the Virginia Bar Association is raising questions.
Just happened.
As Ephraim Graham explained, some fear the organization's actions may embolden Israel's enemies.
Victory is the label on this online petition at change.org. It protests Israel as the location of the Virginia State Bar's upcoming legal seminar. Although the bar's members number more than 30,000, just 39 people signed it. Yet that was enough to lead to the trip's cancellation. By holding this year's seminar in Israel, the petition reads, the VSB accepts discriminatory practices and policies against Arab, Muslim, and Palestinian members on the basis of their race, religion, and national origin, effectively preventing these members from attending. The decision to cancel the trip angered Ron Halber, head of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Washington.
I think they caved into pressure, they made a decision, and were not aware of the blowback.
Additional complaints came from state legislators who just weeks ago passed a resolution restating the Commonwealth's long-standing commitment to Israel. The Speaker of the House of Delegates, Bill Howell, wrote a letter urging the state bar to reconsider its decision. The state bar's decision to cancel this upcoming trip is inconsistent with the policy of the Commonwealth and sends the wrong signal about our relationship with Israel. I feel that it is very important that every agency of the Commonwealth take steps to demonstrate our commitment to Israel and its people. This decision does the opposite. The president of the state bar tried to smooth things over, saying, quote, "We are not expressing opinions regarding Israel's border security measures," he wrote. "We are merely recognizing the reality that our very large and diverse membership includes individuals who may encounter lengthy examination and possible rejection in attempting to navigate the immigration security procedures in Israel." The BDS movement is designed to delegitimize the state of Israel by encouraging boycotting, divesting, and sanctioning of the Jewish state. Halber says that, like it or not, the Virginia State Bar and other organizations who bow to similar pressure encourage the BDS movement.
When American institutions or American organizations look like they're boycotting Israel, whether they wish it looks like they that way or not, it becomes part of the BDS narrative. They use it as an opportunity to rally their people.
Ephraim Graham, CBN News.
So I was in this restaurant. It was a buffet restaurant, and my wife and I were eating in this restaurant. And I noticed that the owners of this restaurant, or at least the people that worked in this restaurant, there was this African-American couple that were in there, and they were eating in the same restaurant that we were eating in. And it was Asian leadership or ownership or waiting on the people in this particular, maybe it was a Chinese-type restaurant or whatever. But then I noticed, my goodness, the way they're talking to this other couple over here, I thought it was very degrading. And finally, I walked up to that management. I said, "That is inappropriate. Well, how you're treating this couple over here, I'm not going to even shop in your business. I'm not going to tolerate that kind of behavior. I am not going to do business with you." See, when racism's present, when you see people treating people badly because of their race and because of their belief in the context of that, you're going to have to take a stand. And if you want everybody to be your friend, and if you're hanging out with people who hate God, who hate Jews, and hate people of color, then you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. You're hanging out with a crowd that's not walking with God. We have to be able to stand up. You know, as Christians, we stand up for people. We stand up for God. We stand up for Israel and all the nations. And when you have this Virginia Bar Association making this decision, that's based on, we have people in our organization, based on these reports now, that don't want to associate or fellowship with or won't be appreciated in Israel. Therefore, we're going to no longer do business with Israel, which is going to feed into the whole narrative of more racism towards Israel. Now, the word they use is anti-Semitism, but most people don't understand. That's called racism. Racism towards a man and a woman just because they're Jewish. And this will give you a little hint here. God's chosen folks that he said, "Listen, I'm going to call you out, Jacob, I'm going to call Abraham, and I'm going to bring you out from among the people, and I'm going to make you my people." And then he's going to have a son, he's going to name Isaac, and he's going to have a son, his name is going to be Jacob. And this Jacob's going to go through a transition, and one day in this transition, when he wrestles with God, he's going to change his name from Jacob to Israel. And when you mess with Israel, when you just say, "I'm not going to do business with Israel just because I'm going to lose business or people are going to hate me," you're going to keep eating at that restaurant that treated somebody horrifically because they're a racist towards somebody. What you're doing is you're saying, "I actually, through my participation in that, staying with a law firm like that that says, you know, this is what we feel. It's just saying, you know, you're agreeing with it. You know, evil, truly, like Dr. King said, and you know, you think about Dr. King, you think about this, evil truly is when good men do nothing. We're in agreement. We're in agreement with people. When we don't stand up and say, I mean, we should just be repulsed by it. We just be, that's not going to happen. And it's time for us as Christians, now not the world, we're not telling people who don't, you know, whatever you feel like, but if you're a Christian, you are for folks. You would go there despite anything to do business if you said you're going to do business, and you would be totally upset. And this news reporter is reporting is potentially, we're thinking that maybe this is against, you know, this is maybe anti-Semitism, maybe a hate crime. It's like, yes, they shot a Jewish grandfather's children with paintballs on the street while he was dressed in his attire. I'm telling you, we got to wake up. We got to stand for God and this country, the original ten, in that order, and stand with Israel. More when we get back from the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A strong-willed person can be a great problem solver, but sometimes a little bit difficult to live with. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Psychologist Dr. Debbie Cherry is a self-described strong-willed woman, and her husband has figured out a way to get the two of them on the same page when there's a problem.
If you will grab a hold of her problem-solving skills and get her to help you solve a problem, she's great at it. But if you just attack the problem and just say, this is what you need to change, she's going to fight you. So I think probably Jim's wisdom, without realizing it, he would come at this and say, I've got a problem. I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me? And all of a sudden I spark and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. So try to engage her strong-willed skills that work and help her get involved in problem solving with you.
There's no doubt that understanding your spouse's strengths is critical to managing your conflicts with them. For more from Debbie Cherry today, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I just want to give a big praise report right now. You know, my father went through a very sudden thing. I mean, suddenly, you know, he was at home. He broke out into a cold sweat. Next thing you know, his body just shut down and collapsed. Just rushed to the hospital, and we find out because of just these great nurses at this hospital, their Sacred Heart Hospital, and that he had a blood clot. Wow. And the blood clot was in his leg, and it traveled up to his, went through his heart, reported, and then two clots, one went to each lung. It was like a fatal report, you know? And everybody began to pray, and we just prayed for him and just watched what God did. And within 24 hours, the Lord provided the wisdom on how to totally go into each lung without invasive surgery and destroy. God just annihilated each of those things completely. And within a little over 48 hours, he was out of the hospital.
Man, God is good.
He's a miracle working God. So I want to encourage you right now, you know, that, you know, get your checkups. If he wouldn't have went, you know, and that was a great medical treatment to let him know what was going on. And God just used that wisdom to just begin to just remove this thing from his body. And I just thank God for that. I just want to encourage you that God can heal you. You know, even if you're going through medical treatment right now, just trust God. God can heal your body. You know, getting back to understanding, you know, racism. And racism is just not a black and white thing. Racism is a shade thing. It's a shade of heaven and hell. You know, the racism comes from the pits of hell. And I remember this teacher in the 1960s, 1967 or something of that nature. I can't remember her name. And if we had the segment, we'd play, and we will in the future. But they had a whole bunch of white kids in a room, and she began to have this particular theory. And the theory was, she said she wanted to test this theory out to see, you know, what people would do, which proves it's a spirit, by the way. And what she began to say is that, you know, the people with blue eyes in the classroom, and I'm probably messing the experiment up, but this is the basic part of it. The people with blue eyes, Miss Elliott's probably her name, but the people with blue eyes, they don't know nothing. They're stupid. They're dumb. You know, nobody pays attention to them.
But the people that have brown eyes, they're smart, they make the best grades, and everybody wants to be with them because there was a whole bunch of white kids in the classroom. And as a matter of fact, to be able to help us better identify who has the blue eyes, they're going to wear the scarf type thing. And so they put the scarf around the blue eye folks, you know, the kids. And these are young kids, maybe 8 years old or something. And immediately the spirit came in to these kids' environment. You know, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And these kids with the brown eyes begin to feel prideful. They begin to feel like, you know, we're smarter. We're part of the brown. And then all of a sudden, nobody wanted to hang out with these blue-eyed kids. And they go to the playgrounds. They would go to the playgrounds, and they begin to ridicule. I mean, these are just all normal white kids, yeah. You know, eight-year-olds or so.
It's called Blue-Eyed Brown-Eyed Experiment, yeah. Jane Elliott in Iowa.
Right. And so when she did that, and so all of a sudden, the shame that came upon these kids that had blue eyes, they started feeling shameful that I have blue eyes, and I'm wearing the scarf that identifies me. And they started buying into the narrative, and she started interviewing the kids. You know, how do you feel about being blue eyes and not knowing much? And they're like, I feel terrible about it, and I've lost my friends, and I feel ashamed. And I mean, just that one moment of time. And then suddenly, she shifts the experiment. She says, okay, no, it's actually the blue-eyed kids that are smart kids, and the brown-eyed kids, they're the ones that are smart and intelligent. And they put this scarf thing on the brown-eyed kids, and there's a whole bunch of white kids. And so in that, the very same thing happened. The very kid that was prideful over the blue eye now was shamed that he was the brown-eyed kid, and that he began to fight and strike out at the blue eyes because of what they were saying about him or what he felt about them, which means this. Racism is a spirit. It has nothing to do with skin color. I mean, if you are a person of color, you know plain as day that if you get into the community of color, people start talking about different shades of color.
Yes,
they say things like light skin, dark skin, red bone, these different types of things. It's like, how about the human race? Why are we trying to identify ourselves by a race?
That's right.
And if you take that on, you're going to start thinking for some reason, based on our shades, that somebody, and this is what Abraham Lincoln's argument was when he began to, as a lawyer, I believe in Illinois, as a congressman or legislator up there, that if in fact, you know, you're based on your color, you say that you are of higher value and more intelligent than this color. Well, what do you do if somebody whiter than you comes along? What if somebody with a different, you know what I'm saying? That was his argument.
Right.
Because this is stupid. It's just, it's racism. It comes straight from the pits of hell. And we're all created in the image and likeness of God. And the life is deeper than the skin.
Mm.
But if you can preach those narratives over those children and begin to tell them things like you're less than, you're more than, you're smarter than people. Oh, don't hang out with those blue-eyed folks. Oh, man, those brown-eyed folks are the ones. They know so much more than us. You start believing that.
Yeah.
And you take on those spirits. And all of a sudden, you're dividing folks. Mm-hmm. You're dividing people up. And when people are saying, stay away from Israel, don't do business with Israel, if you take that spirit on, that spirit is of the anti-Christ spirit. It's anti-God spirit. And also, if you take that on based on any race, if you say, you know, I don't hang out with white people because I don't hang out with black people. I don't hang out with brown people. I don't hang out with yellow people. I said, what are you even talking about? That's ignorance. But the biggest thing is that it's racism. And we have to stand up for that as Christians. And Dr. King, you know, he said, I have a dream. And his dream was about a multicultural people with different ethnicities walking together hand in hand. And if you look what he said and what we see in regards to that, he would be pretty pleased to see today that of course, his younger generation has less issues with that than the older generations. But the thing that the younger generation has, in addition to the older generation, is they don't understand that the word anti-Semitism means racism towards Jews.
Mm.
And that you got to make up your mind, you're going to be a friend of God, or are you going to be a friend of darkness? Are you going to be a friend of those who don't love God, don't want God, that's not going to support the Jews? You got to make up your mind. You say, well, I'm going to lose business. Isn't it better to lose business than lose your soul?
Mm.
Isn't it better to be like Corrie Ten Boom and to say, you know what? I mean, she was beat, she was persecuted, but you know, she stood up for God. She stood up for the Jews. She stood up for the human race. And we have to do that. And I can feel it, man. I can just sense that day's coming. If you sit in a restaurant and you see the owner of that restaurant come against someone based on their ethnicity, based on their color of their skin, and you order a dessert after that, or you don't say anything to that. You know, if you see somebody lean out their window and take a paintball gun and shoot at this grandfather and his grandchildren because they're Jewish, and you don't get to the news media and you call them, so you call that anti-Semitism, you call that racism, you don't say, oh, this is possibly not
right.
We've got to stand up, especially when it's easier to stand up now. It's going to get more difficult. And I think about Miriam, though. We talked about Miriam. Maybe we'll have her when we get back. But she understands. I mean, here she is as a refugee under ISIS, how they put radical Islam has pushed them out of their homes. And the heart that she has is just amazing. And it will help us understand who we're supposed to be. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business. Provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that you want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Lancaster. You know, just talking about what we were talking about before we move on is that, you know, we're going to be hearing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just a moment about these talks that are going on. But the Word of God specifically says, I mean, there was a day that there was division in different ethnicities and all of that. But when you become a Christian, Colossians talks about it. Colossians 3:11, right? Read that to us.
Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Oh, what version that is. But yeah, the right. But there is, you think about it, it's true. They're just one in Christ Jesus. We're one in Christ Jesus. We're a new ethnos in Jesus. That we're Christian Americans. We're Christian Israelis. We're Christian Mexicans, we're Christian. We're not Mexican Christians. Right. We're Christian.
Christ is first.
He is definitely first. And, You know, I want to say this. I think this is a prophetic statement. I feel like it is, and we will find out in time. But I remember when the president was talking, and he said specifically, you know, they asked him, you know, are you going to close down Guantanamo Bay, the prison there that has the prisoners of of this radical Islam we're seeing take place right now, and they haven't. But let's first listen to what the president said, because this is what I'm sensing about could be happening in the next couple of months.
Second point, our legitimacy is reduced when we've got a Guantanamo that is open, when we suspend habeas corpus. Those kinds of things erode our moral claims that we are acting on behalf of broader universal principles, and that's one of the reasons why those kinds of issues are so important. We're going to lead by shutting down Guantanamo and restoring habeas corpus in this country so that we offer them an example.
I think that folks made a terrific point that we have to stand for human rights, and that should be part of the trade equation. It is harder for us to do it when we have situations like Guantanamo, where we've suspended habeas corpus. To the extent that we are not being true to our values and our ideals, that sends a negative message to the world, and it gives us less leverage then when we want to deal with countries that are abusing human rights. So I think it's part and parcel with a larger program of us restoring the traditions that made this country great and made us admired around the world.
There are a number of different things that you could do early pertaining to executive orders.
Right.
One of them is to shut down Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Another is to change interrogation methods that are used by U.S. troops. Are those things that you plan to take early action on?
Yes. I have said repeatedly that I intend to close Guantanamo, and I will follow through on that. I've said repeatedly that America doesn't torture, and I'm going to make sure that we don't torture. Those are part and parcel of an effort to regain America's moral stature in the world.
Well, you think about it, you know, when you hear this theme, and I think that our president was very, I mean, who doesn't want to just to close that down?
Sure.
But the thing about it is what's there is the fuel that's happening now across with ISIS and everything's mm-hmm. happening. But there's, you have, you know, Guantanamo is located in Cuba, so you know that. And Guantanamo is not what you want to close down. You want to close down the Guantanamo detention camp. But what you heard over and over again, this is where I feel prophetically that the Lord's laying on my heart, is what our president said over and over again, we're going to close down Guantanamo. Mm. We're going to close down Guantanamo. You know, there's a Navy base in Guantanamo. That's where those are in the Navy. You know, we went down there to qualify our ships and to qualify our teams, and there's a Navy base there, and you think that's very important because it protects our southern borders mm-hmm. that's going on. And, you know, I would say we're going to close down the Guantanamo base detention center, detention camp.
Right.
Not Guantanamo, but over and over again, it's Guantanamo. And then all of a sudden, you know, after all these years, you know, our leadership in our country has opened up and lifted the
sanctions
and opened relationships with Cuba. And that's where Guantanamo is. It's in Cuba. And you're thinking, what? That's 90 miles off the coast of Florida.
Why now? And what's the backstory to this?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what the news, sure. the news you know. And prophetically, what we've been hearing and seeing, I think about, you know, Brett Holderbaum out of Colorado and how, you know, the Lord began to show him, you know, Cuban aircraft coming into our southern border, coming into Florida and coming into different areas. And it's like, you know, the reason why that Guantanamo is there is to be able to have a strength, presence of strength there.
Right.
And so this is the thing that dropped in my spirit. And
Bay of Pigs, you know, not Bay of Pigs, but
when the
Russians were coming over.
Yeah, they were
not
down.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, actually, they had submarines that were sunk down and waiting to shoot missiles into America, and President Kennedy was there.
13-day series. I mean,
yeah, everybody was on tension, and even they broke communications with Russia during that time. The Russian submarines, so they might have even did it because they didn't. They were panicking, and then they were listening to our radio programs in the submarines underground, talk about what's going on.
Wow!
And then America was at risk. It was a few days that America could have been bombed right off its coast with nuclear weapons there in these submarines. Well, we have Guantanamo, so I would actually articulate it you know, we are going to close down that detention camp in Guantanamo. But if you think about Miami and Florida, and you keep talking about Miami, after a while, people won't even realize that you're talking about Florida.
Right.
Well, think about Miami like Guantanamo, and Cuba's like Florida. So you're talking about all of Cuba. It's the whole thing. It's and so you open, we open the, this relationship with these governments around the world, but right here in Cuba, right in our backyard, 90 miles off our coast, that has oppressed its people. There's no, nobody more upset than the Cuban American Cubans that are here, that are seeing, you know, what's happening as their families are being imprisoned.
Fidel, Raul.
Yeah. And so then, just something just happened. It happened, you know, in my prayer time that, you know, one of the strategies that might be going on is we're fixing to give Guantanamo away to Cuba. Think about that. The things are being set up because the president tried to get nations, including our nation, to take these prisoners in. And the whole world said, no, we don't want them. They traded a couple of them for a reportedly betrayer, whatever he did. What did he do? He left.
A deserter.
Reportedly a deserter of his troops. And traded five of these guys. And the whole world went into uprage over that. And so, you know, it's like, hey, let's just give the whole piece of land away. Let's just...
And what are the potential ramifications? If we give away this land, what does that mean for America?
Well, you think about it. He said all along, I am going to close down Guantanamo. I'm going to close down Guantanamo. I'm going to close down Guantanamo. He didn't say, I'm going to close down the detention center in Guantanamo.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, arrangements are being potentially, I don't know, that's just about the spirit, that the leaders of, you know, Cuba is going, well, great. Yeah, we're eventually going to have this military Navy base is going to be out of here. Yeah, we'll take those guys on. Mm. And, of course, they release them right away and say, we didn't release them. They released them. But the big thing is that prophetically what we've heard is that there's going to be something coming up from the Gulf of Mexico into Florida. I mean, a battle, you know, spiritually is going to be coming in. And we've seen battleships. Some of the things that John Paul Jackson talked about before he went to go be with the Lord was, you know, the big question was, where is the Navy? Mm. Where is the Navy? That's a Navy base in Guantanamo. That's what we're doing. We're carrying our ships down there, and we went through all the operations of how a ship works. We go through these drills, and you had to get qualified, you know, to be able to, that's why you have these letters you put on your ship. Well, with that, it's a small thing they're called this detention center, but they're not talking about that. The words are from the very beginning, it looks like from what we just saw over and over again, that the theme is we're going to close this thing down. Mm. We're going to close it down. And there's one thing I've noticed that with our president, President Barack Obama, that, you know, whatever he says, I mean, he does. I mean, he's going to do that. He says some pretty amazing things, things that are shocking, but he says it. And guess what? He's been doing it. We need to pray that God would have mercy and that we would be able to keep our southern bases throughout the South, including Guantanamo Bay, and that God would give wisdom on how to be able to deal with these war criminals that are in this detention center in Guantanamo. We would not give it up, and that God would stop any plans coming against our nation. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's one more person here in the studio, but I guess I'll just ask you, Steve. Probably not. But
are you familiar with this?
They set it up so lovely.
Have you?
I feel the love. Thanks, Chris.
Ever,
thanks, bud. I love you, man.
Has that ever happened? Have you ever frosted the tips of your...
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have.
What? Tell us about... How does that work, bro? I mean...
What happened to you?
In his defense.
What?
In his defense.
Do we need to go to a break, Green, about now? I think we do.
No, we're out of breaks, bro.
We're out of timeouts here, aren't we?
He needs a lifeboat right now. He's thinking fast.
He needs a lifeline.
Yeah. Well,
you want to dial a friend or something? Yeah,
yeah. We got plenty of time. I got nowhere to go right here. I don't know.
When
I was in my 20s, I had shorter hair, which I'm no longer in my 20s now, so this is...
Such an older man now.
Yeah,
so
yes.
What are you, like, 30?
Something like that.
25, I think.
It is getting hot in here, though, I would say. But,
maybe it's frosted. I don't know.
Anyways, no, like, I had shorter hair, and it's called, like, if you ever see people that are out in the sun a lot, like, they have, like, lighter hair mm-hmm. in certain areas. Well, they can actually do that without the sun. So it's called frosting the tips.
In the military, right here.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I want to talk about these talks that are going on, you know, as we speak. And you hear us saying it quite often, but if it is what it is, isn't it good to know what it is?
What talks are you referring to?
Well, I'm talking about the talks that are taking place, you know, over Iran getting nuclear capabilities to obviously, you know, get some sort of nuclear weapon. And they already have missile technology, reports are.
Right.
But the biggest thing is, from I heard that reports are that everybody was walking away from the tables because it took so long. But America was hanging in there.
To the very end.
You know, John Kerry hanging in there. Secretary of State John Kerry. And I'll just tell you what the Lord showed me. Before John Kerry was even selected, where anybody knew that he was going to be selected, because prior to that was Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the mm-hmm. most traveled Secretary of State. Boy, she organized the world pretty much, you know, whatever happened. It's amazing. And so anyway, so I'm walking side by side with with John Kerry at that point. You know, he wasn't even Secretary of State. And as I'm walking side by side with him, I'm trying to think about, you know, what is his name? Because this is, you know, anyway, so, and we're going up these flights of stairs. And then all of a sudden, you know, I needed to be able to, and we're having this relationship and we're talking, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, I got to go back down to, imagine being at a hotel and you go to the front desk to be able to get a particular key. And after walking with Kerry for a while, things were going to be different for Christians. You have to, you know, we always feel like, you know, ever how it is that it always was. It hasn't, this is not normal to go through Christian towns, beheading Christians, crucifying Christians, raping Christian women, forcing them into marriage, this genocide of Christians. But guess what? Even the very specific thing of when he was going to announce, God told me at the time, he went live on television to announce what he was going to do. And I looked over at Pat and I looked over at John and said, this is the time it's going to happen, because God gave me the numbers on the clock. And right at that time, he came live on from Washington, D.C., and started focusing on Syria and King Assad, and began the whole Alinsky strategy. And we're walking with John Kerry now. And what's happening? Genocide's happening to Christians. Genocide. This is not good. He threatened. I mean, we saw this report. He threatened the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, saying, "You don't want a third intifada and uprising, do you?" And it's like, why would we even say, how prideful is it for us to even say that to any leader anywhere? And who are we to even say that? And why do you have so much influence over the enemy of Israel that you could actually get them to rise up? And now we're watching him negotiate with enemies of Israel. And realize this, enemies of Israel are enemies of the church. They're enemies of Jesus Christ. You have to understand that. We're together in this. It's JJ. And JJ, I always talk about that because I want you to get that in your head. You know, whatever happens to the Jews happens to Jesus, happens to the church. And when you see Jesus, he's the firstborn amongst the church. He's the King of Kings. He's our Lord. And so I just say JJ to remember that, to be short, because whatever happens to the Jews is going to happen to Jesus' folks. It's going to happen to the church, because we're one and the same in the context of God's eyes. And so you're looking at right now, they're persecuting more Christians potentially than anybody else. And they're persecuting because they're Christians, because they won't renounce Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's not going to end well if we keep on just tolerating our selected leadership that we selected and not protesting that in regards to saying stop this negotiation, or return your negotiations to something like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying of Prime Minister of Israel. Then, you know, what are we doing? We're sitting silently. But evil is when good men do nothing, as Dr. King said. You know, watch this. This is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, speaking about this very thing. Watch.
Yesterday, an Iranian general brazenly declared, and I quote, Israel's destruction is non-negotiable. But evidently, giving Iran's murderous regime a clear path to the bomb is negotiable. This is unconscionable. I agree with those who have said that Iran's claim that its nuclear program is only for peaceful purposes doesn't square with Iran's insistence on keeping underground nuclear facilities, advanced centrifuges, and a heavy water reactor. Nor does it square with Iran's insistence on developing ICBMs and its refusal to come clean with the IAEA on its past weaponization efforts. At the same time, Iran is accelerating its campaign of terror, subjugation, and conquest throughout the region, most recently in Yemen. The concessions offered to Iran in Lausanne would ensure a bad deal that would endanger Israel, the Middle East, and the peace of the world. Now is the time for the international community to insist on a better deal. A better deal would significantly roll back Iran's nuclear infrastructure. A better deal would link the eventual lifting of the restrictions on Iran's nuclear program to a change in Iran's behavior. Iran must stop its aggression in the region, stop its terrorism throughout the world, and stop its threats to annihilate Israel. That should be non-negotiable, and that's the deal that the world powers must insist upon. Thank you.
This is so important for us to pray now for the protection, the peace of Israel. America's leadership, just like God said, once we walk with Kerry, it's not going to be good for Israel. It's not going to be for good for Jews and Christians. Well, here it is. Mm. It's happening. Dear God, we ask you to intervene, yes, and to stop all evil plans against Israel and against human race and against the Christians in Jesus' name. John, talk to us about the series coming up.
Listen, the same people that brought us the Bible series that was a huge success, Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, they are now releasing this Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. You don't want to miss it. It's called AD. Watch this.
My son chose you for a reason. He knew your faith was strong enough to help you to become the man our people need you to be.
Peter.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one. Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Turn away from hate. Turn away from violence. Jesus is the light of the world.
Do you dare to believe?
Mary.
Jesus has risen.
We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each other's dignity and save each other's.
Peace be with you.
My Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed.
Powerful. Don't forget, you know, this is what sets Christians apart, that our Savior his mother had a virgin birth, that he lived a sinless life, and that he was sacrificed on the cross. He died. He was buried in the grave, and on the third day, which, you know, is turned into what we call Easter Sunday, but Resurrection Day.
That's right.
He was raised by his Father. that this Jesus that you thought was dead is now alive. And this is what is so exciting. We serve a living God, a living Savior, yes, that's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's talking about you to him. He's explaining you to him, and he's saying, listen, make me the Lord of your life. I want you to meet my Father, he says, through him, through his Son, through Jesus Christ. We shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You can see that on your lower screen. But I tell you this. You want to watch this. You want to understand these are the days. These are exciting, exciting days. And find a place of fellowship this Easter and get connected to a body of believers. I want to pray for you. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear. We thank you, Lord, that you lived the sinless life, that you had the virgin, you were born from a virgin, Father God, that Father God is your father and man, Mary was your mother. The Father, you determined the blood that runs through the veins of Jesus. The Father determines the blood. You lived a sinless life. And then you were sacrificed for my sin, for the sins of those that are watching right now. You paid the price for all sin that ever was, is, or will be. And then you were buried in a grave on the third day, what we call Easter. You were raised from the dead, and now you're alive. And now you tell us all we have to do is make you the Lord of our life. I just want to invite you right now, if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, say, Jesus, this Easter, this moment, I want to know you. I want to know you, Father God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. If you've done this, we want to know about it. Contact us at vfntv.com or call us at 844-40-VFN-TV. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit vfntv.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.